Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live, and the phones are open here. We're kicking off the third hour of the show with you tonight. And you can join us online, of course, at freetalklive.com. We do have a social media site, and you can interact with other Free Talk Live hosts and listeners there at social.freetalklive.com. That's social.freetalklive.com. We've been talking about, speaking of social things, dating apps and some people's disappointment with them. But not only is the author of this article at Jacobin Magazine disappointed with his experience with dating apps, Nick French, but he wants them to be socialized. He thinks that the government can help this situation. And we'll get into his specific proposals there right around the corner here in this story. But we're going to continue with your phone calls and thoughts. The real Sarah in New Mexico is on the line. Go ahead.
What do you mean?
Sarah.
The real, do you say socialist?
Well, you are a socialist, but I said the real Sarah.
Oh, yes, I just have to explain what's going on here in Albuquerque that this year we had 7 dumpster trucks caught on fire.
Dumpster trucks?
Yes.
Okay. 7?
Why?
7?
How?
Yes, because the last one, they found that somebody threw out an oxygen tank into the dumpster.
Oh, no.
So they've been advised not to put in batteries, car batteries, rechargeable batteries, ammonia, bleach, and ashes from barbecue pits. I guess they just need some common sense, so-called common sense. So
if you combine car batteries and the other things you talked about with oxygen tanks, it could be go boom?
Right, when they turn it and... when it turns. So they've been...
Oh, yeah, because they squish it down.
Oh, the
yeah.
crushing action of the trucks.
Well,
I see
even just the oxygen tanks alone, if those undergo a lot of heat or pressure, they will explode. They're very flammable and very combustible.
And it's summer in New Mexico, so...
Yeah.
Yikes. So 7 of them? Oh, yeah. And how long in a... how long of a period did 7 of these things catch fire?
I think I was told in like 1 year since this year. So what does that mean? Starting January? Are they counting 12 months back? I do not know exactly.
Either way, it's a lot.
Now, what about essential oils? Do you have to put those in the garbage, or is there a certain disposal procedure that's necessary with those?
The essential oils, I think they're natural products. It's small quantities, so that's not mentioned.
That's true. Yeah, it's probably just a few milliliters per bottle, right? All right, Sarah. Well, I guess thanks for sharing the story about the garbage recommendations from Sarah. Definitely appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. You can continue bring up whatever you want here on Free Talk Live. So
yeah, I couldn't think of anything related to like communism to bring up to her about that.
Well, and we can't ask her about dating apps because she's not on the internet. So otherwise, I would have asked her if she has had any experience with those. And she's currently living in a trailer with an older gentleman, so she's taken for the moment, as I understand it. So, again, 603-283-6160. So back to the story here from Jacobin Magazine. He's put out his complaints so far in the story. He doesn't like the fact that people are making money off of dating apps. He thinks it could be done differently, and so he's going to get into his solutions here. Don't we want to understand how this crucial aspect of our experience is being shaped? And should
dating apps.
Have some say in how it's shaped? If you think so, then we should work towards socializing the dating apps, bringing them under collective democratic ownership. What might that look like? It doesn't necessarily mean establishing a government-run national dating service or taking Tinder under state control. I'll give him credit for that.
How could it mean anything else other than those two things?
He's going to explain that in the coming paragraphs. But I got to give him a little bit of credit. I wasn't expecting that when I got this far in the story. I thought for sure he's just going to take the easy way out and say, oh, well, have the government take it over. But he does get a little bit more creative to his credit. He says, what might that look like? It doesn't necessarily mean establishing a government-run dating service. Okay, so digital platform scholar James Muldoon has argued that many digital platforms ought to be democratized and liberated from the profit motive. But what exactly this platform socialism looks like would differ from platform to platform. We could democratize dating through the creation of online dating co-ops, in which users and workers would collectively own and control their platforms. This approach would allow users to take control back from unaccountable investors and CEOs while preserving the diversity of the dating app ecosystem and avoiding unnecessary bureaucracy.
Honestly, why would you want to have to work for every single company that you get a product from? Like, why would I want to have to help code a dating app just because I'm using it or even just decide things for it? Why would I want that over, oh no, giving somebody money?
Well,
doesn't sound like a solution to me.
You wouldn't, but maybe there are people out there that would want that. And if that's the case, as long as they're not doing it through the threat of violence through the government, I say, have at your co-op.
I now, say that too, but I'm just saying.
Now, the fact is, when you look at co-op-owned businesses, a lot of them are dramatic failures. There was like a co-op restaurant out in Brattleboro, and I don't know if they closed their doors. I don't know what has happened with them. There was a place in Boston that tried this, and they were sort of notoriously slow. Like, you'd order a sandwich, and it would take a half an hour to come out.
The co-op grocery store here is the most expensive grocery store around. I don't know if
that's a fact, too.
Is why.
Now, maybe there are some co-ops out there that are really snappy and efficient. I don't know. I don't have much experience going to cooperative-owned or employee-owned or whatever situations. But there's no reason why this couldn't work in theory. And, you know, some people...
It kind of sounds like the DAO thing you were talking about.
The decentralized autonomous organization is kind of... I wouldn't describe it as democratic socialism, I mean, necessarily. It's just a way of organizing that's different from the standard corporation that allows people to get involved if they want to. And this guy sounds like he wants to be involved, and there may be other people like that. So let's go on here. But, of course, what he would probably object to is that decentralized autonomous organizations are usually sort of created utilizing a cryptocurrency token of some sort, and these people hate money, so they're probably not going to go that direction.
And they've now been brainwashed to believe that cryptocurrency is bad for the environment.
Yeah, even though the decentralized autonomous organization would actually work perfectly for what he's proposing, and this is just me saying this from sort of the outside of having seen a few of them here and there, like, they have voting systems, and many of them are probably open source, so you can probably just copy their voting system that some other project is using, and then use it to roll up your own democratically owned socialized Tinder or whatever, and then all of the tools, basically what I'm saying is all the tools to run these DAOs have been developed already, so you don't have to reinvent that wheel. Anyway, he goes on. He's talking about the co-ops in which users and workers could collectively own and control their platforms. This would allow users to take control back from unaccountable investors and CEOs. He says, an app's users and developers could become the app's co-owners as well, with the size of one's ownership share being adjusted, for example, to the length of time one has been a user or developer. That's a terrible idea.
So they would still have to pay for it. Where previously, like, you just use Tinder for free unless you want to upgrade to that. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get how this would be better than how most apps are already being run.
Well, it would be different. I don't know if it would be better. I don't think that giving somebody a greater ownership simply because they've been around longer is a good idea, necessarily.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
It would seem like...
Sounds like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, it would sound like if they're actually contributing, maybe they should have a greater ownership. Or in the case of the decentralized autonomous organization, those that have the most tokens have the greatest voting power.
You would think, so for a dating app to work, typically you're going to use it, find a partner, and then not use it
and
anymore, correct?
Yeah.
So why do you want to keep owning this? That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
That's another good point. I wonder if he's even thought through this that far. It's like, why would people continue to be interested in this thing after it's done its job?
Well, it sounds like he's never gotten a date from any, you know, any of these, so he probably just forgot that that's part of it.
That's a good point. He feels like he'll always be there.
It goes back to us saying that it seems like he's just using this to chat with people, and also that he has a lot of time on his hands.
There's more coming up, a little bit more about his vision for how this could work with and without government, because he's going to come back to the government.
Of course.
He ain't done with the government involvement here in this thing. There's more on the way. This is Free Talk Live, and you can join us at 603-283-6160.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready-hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that last up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live and the 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online anytime you want. Just go to freetalklive.com. You can follow us, by the way, on our Odyssey channel. That is where you can watch the show live and later on anytime you want, going back for some number of years. Over at video.freetalklive.com. Here tonight, you've got Ian.
And Bonnie.
And Nikki.
We've been digging into this socialist opinion over at Jacobin Magazine by a gentleman who is arguing that there should be socialized dating apps. He's tired of all these people making profits off of helping people meet and hook up and go on dates and possibly go and get into relationships.
You know the work they do.
Yeah, he thinks that, no, let's cut the profits out and let's socialize things. Well, he does, to his credit, sort of blow off the idea of putting it under the control of the government, because maybe he realizes the government is, as he does point out here, unnecessarily bureaucratic. Now, so credit, if there's a little bit of credit that he deserves, that's the little bit that he's going to get from me, because then he does end up going downhill after describing what could possibly work. He describes this idea of like a co-op or an employee-owned or sort of, you know, participant-owned network or app that users and programmers or whoever could be involved in. They could own a share in this somehow, and he kind of speculates aloud about, you know, what that might look like. So let's go on. He says, these shares would entitle users to votes of a certain weight in making decisions about the app's function and management. That would include important choices about what sort of information users provide in their profiles, for instance, and how the algorithm deals with ethically fraught preferences. Users could collectively deliberate about the possible impacts of different choices from the perspectives of social justice.
That's automatically more bureaucracy than just the way the apps are now. So why is he even saying, oh, well, the government's too bureaucratic? I mean, do you really need people arguing about every little detail?
And I have to wonder, of any given amount of people in any app, whether it's Tinder or whatever, what percentage of them actually wants to get involved in the administration of the app itself?
It's probably very, very low.
It's got to be less than 1%.
Oh, absolutely less than 1%. Most people do not have time to care about what Tinder is doing on the back end.
And I really feel like most people who are using Tinder, it's working for them, you know?
Yeah, and they just don't really care that much. Like, nobody really cares about, like, the ethics of Tinder and whether or not they're making money. That's just, people are using it for its purpose as a dating app, getting dates, and if it doesn't work for them, they delete it or whatever. Like, people don't care that much.
Yeah, if they do go through with this, and they probably won't because they're lazy, but if they do actually, you know, create some sort of social democratic dating app, then if they want it to be a success, they're going to have it act like every other app on its face. And then there'll have to be some sort of thing of like, hey, do you want to help us make decisions for the app? Click here and you can join our little arguing club where you can argue over whether or not to allow people to filter by race or to allow people to filter by hair color or whatever. And there will be some people who do want to do that. There are people who have opinions about the way certain things should be run. And whether there's enough of them to actually build an app off of it, I don't know.
Well, and you know what? I don't think it's going to be a very good app.
Because, it probably will be terrible.
Because apps and, you know, different social media websites, they have a whole marketing team, right?
Yes.
So they do a lot of research, and these people are professionals. This is what they do for a living. They're experts in this. And it takes a lot of effort to curate an app and to do all of the research that's necessary to make a good and effective app.
Well,
so if
plus,
you just have people arguing and voting on, oh, well, you're not allowed to filter out races and your preferences and this, that, and the other thing, it's not going to be what the majority of people want.
And all that work is why I was pointing out that these people deserve to get paid. How could you think that these people don't deserve to get paid?
Well, no, they're not saying they would do it for free. He gets into that. He says here, each user owner could pay a subscription fee to fund the app and pay its employees. Users and developers could democratically decide how high to set the subscription fee, with the goal being not to maximize profits, but to raise enough revenue to invest in creating the best possible dating experience.
I seriously don't get it, because if he doesn't want people making money off an app, but he just came up with an idea where people will get paid, they won't get paid a lot, okay, but
I know, like, what's the big difference here?
Now poor people are excluded from this app because maybe most poor people can't afford to pay for every app when they could just meet someone in real life.
Wait, and that's another issue with these types. He probably came from money. He doesn't understand the value of a dollar. He doesn't understand that some people don't have money to pay for subscriptions and to invest in companies. And then he just wants to pretend like, you know, he's like a Bernie Sanders type. It's like, you've been rich your whole life, but you want to act like you're for the working class.
Don't one of his buddies have a Sanders shirt on in the one of the pictures?
Yeah,
in
I wouldn't
profile?
Be surprised.
Freed from the imperative to deliver value for shareholders, cooperatively run apps could do away with premium subscriptions, add-on purchases, like paying to boost your profile's visibility or paying for extra likes, and annoying in-app advertisements. The co-ops could also institute collectively agreed-upon policies around privacy and data sharing. They would no longer need to exploit user data to sell to third-party companies. But without the lure of lucrative profits drawing large investments, these dating cooperatives may find it hard to raise adequate funds from subscriptions alone. Here's where the state would have an important role to play. Yeah, coming in at the very end.
You mean the taxpayer.
Uh-huh. In providing public funding for the development of cooperatively owned dating apps. So that's where he wants the state to be involved. He doesn't want the state to run the app.
Just fund it.
He just wants money from the state.
He wants a bunch of annoying people who have all these super strong opinions about how a dating app should be run ethically to run it, and then the government to steal from people to make it actually work.
It just
work.
What really doesn't make sense to me is the hypocrisy of this, because these type of people, they always complain about how there's not enough tax money for healthcare, and you know they want to fund the schools and do all these things. There already isn't enough money for the schools and the hospitals and the libraries and all these other things, but they want to fund a dating app.
Well, that just tax people more.
Well, it just seems so insignificant.
Well, but it would just be a small amount, Nikki. I mean, it's not going to be a big deal. Plus, I mean, I can make that argument pretty easily. Like, oh, yeah, just trim a little bit off the military budget. You know, plenty of money to give to a dating app. I'm not arguing for that. I think the military should be abolished entirely. But regardless,
I don't know. This guy probably supports going into Ukraine and fighting
for the democracy there.
Most
guaranteed, he does. But these people believe that, you know, if there's not enough taxes, you just raise taxes, right? Just pull more money in or print it out or whatever. But the other thing is, like, how many times has government handed out money with no strings attached? So,
never.
Like, even if his model gets put together and he manages to get public funding, you know there's going to be some kind of strings attached to that money coming from the government, but I'm sure he won't care about that. He says the idea isn't as outlandish as it might seem. After all, in the United States, governments already fund many cultural institutions for the benefit of their citizens' quality of life. Museums, the arts, research in the humanities, public parks, even nightlife.
All things, I don't think that the government should pay for any of those things, but all those things even are more important than a freaking dating app.
There's more coming up here in moments. You can join us, 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Certain body functions are silent in that when they are compromised, you don't know until it is too late. One of these functions is immunity. When your immune system is robust, then you never succumb to illness or overcome it quickly. Since we're all being exposed to cabal-created genetically engineered pathogens that our immune systems were not designed to handle, it is important that we make a concerted effort to fortify our immune systems on a daily basis. Here at Synergistic Nutrition, we have two clients who overcame COVID symptoms within 24 hours. We have another client who had long-hauler COVID symptoms for 2 years, who overcame those symptoms within a few weeks. In each instance, the product they credit for helping them was Green Meadow Whey. The lactoferrin in Green Meadow Whey fortifies your immune system to combat virtually all pathogens. I invite you to fortify your immune system and health with Green Meadow Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestwheyprotein.net. That's best, W-H-E-Y, protein.net.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Soaring inflation is a clear and present danger to our economy. So said Senator Joe Manchin, and he was asked if President Biden was right to say the latest figures were outdated.
I would hope that he was right and that we wouldn't be, but that's the same people that might have given him information saying it was transitory.
The West Virginia Democrat is key to passing anything in the evenly divided Senate. He said the latest Consumer Price Index report is cause for serious concern. The CPI jumped 9.1% for the 12 months that ended in June. The White House is calling on Russia to release forcefully deported Ukrainians. The Biden administration's accusations count as war crimes, according to a statement from Secretary of State Anthony Blinken. And you're listening to USA Radio News. Ukrainian and Russian officials are holding talks mediated by Turkey to discuss ways Ukraine can export its grain to the global market and address a growing global hunger problem. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres remains hopeful the talks will continue to a point of agreement.
The progress was extremely encouraging. We hope that now the delegations are coming back to their capitals, and we hope that the next steps will allow us to come to a formal agreement.
Big rigs are clogging up Southern California freeways over a state law that limits the use of independent contractors. The Supreme Court recently decided not to take up a trucking industry appeal to a state law that limits the use of independent workers and gig workers. Truckers in the region are deliberately slowing down traffic in protest. They favor more freedom to work as independent truckers. This is USA Radio News.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160 here in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
And Bonnie.
And Nikki.
We are sharing with you a story from Jacobin Magazine, which is a hard-left publication, by a guy who is just not happy with his dating prospects. His name is Nick French. He apparently lives in probably New York City, I think, didn't you say?
Well, his Twitter is like Nick French NYC.
Yeah. He is a self-proclaimed democratic socialist, and he wants to meet more socialist ladies. And he says that Tinder and these other online dating apps are just not cutting it for him. Whether it's the algorithm that he disagrees with, or it's matching capabilities.
Or it's the fact that there just aren't hot socialist democratic women.
He wants to do something differently. He wants the government to get involved. Now, he does, to his credit, purport an idea of a co-op, or cooperatively owned business that would create an app and allow users to be co-owners in it, sort of like a co-op grocery store. And corresponding, as you pointed out, the co-op store in town here in Keene is the most expensive grocery store in the area. And he admits that maybe they wouldn't be able to get enough revenue from their users in order to cover their operating costs, so that's where the government can come into play. And he does excuse this by saying, well, look, the government's involved in many cultural institutions in funding things like public parks, museums, the arts, research in the humanities, even nightlife. And I thought, nightlife?
Yeah, I didn't catch that one at the end of what you were saying last time.
So I went to he links to the nightlife. So of all the things that he mentions, nightlife is the only one he links to.
Because that's the most unbelievable.
Yeah. I was like, what is that? Okay. So it's New York City, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And they have something called the Office of Nightlife.
That's horrible. I just feel like that's now, crazy. Of course,
New York City is one of the biggest big government cities out there, so I guess we shouldn't be surprised at this, but there is, let's see, September of 2017, so relatively new, the mayor at the time, Bill de Blasio, signed legislation to establish the first ever Office of Nightlife.
Nothing says I love to light money on fire like the Office of Nightlife.
So according to the story here, the formation cements New York's position as a global leader in a growing movement of more than 40 major cities around the world working to proactively manage life at night.
Is that like when they close the bars and stuff and have cops walking around them during COVID? And
but
you have
aren't they open until like 5 a.m. in New York City? Like, don't things just not close there?
I'm pretty sure you can keep the bar open all night there, but yeah. I could be wrong about that. Although the Office of Nightlife is not a reporting or enforcement agency, they're committed to working with nightlife operators, workers, performers, patrons, and residents to address their challenges. Working with our partner agencies across city and state government, the Office of Nightlife is committed to promoting safe spaces and social justice, protecting grassroots cultural spaces, streamlining red tape and regulations, working with agencies to develop recommendations that help to ensure fair and proportionate enforcement, and advancing quality of life for all New Yorkers.
How Why? Is that not regulation? They're ensuring fair.
You know what it is? You know why it's not regulation? Because they're probably not actually doing anything.
Hmm.
Yeah, they work with the regulators. They work with the enforcement agencies. So what it sounds to me is...
They're like a middleman?
Yeah, they're completely... You know, as though all the other bureaucracies weren't unnecessary, this one is certainly unnecessary. It sounds to me like if you are in the nightlife business... And you have an issue
challenge.
With some sort of, I don't know, maybe it's your competitors across the street who, you know, they're not getting visited as often by the health department, and you want to complain about that, but you don't want to complain to the health department. You can go to the Office of Nightlife and complain about it there or something. I don't know. Maybe they're just going around drinking at all the clubs and calling it a job.
All I know
Who knows
is
what the reality is of this.
The beginning of COVID, right before the clubs shut down, and they just had cops walking around them, and they forced you to sit at tables with a mask on. We were just like, let's get the F out of here.
Sounds awful.
Government involved in partying. Not cool.
Buzzkill.
Definitely. So he points out here that dating apps, again, this is him making his pitch for why government money should be funding his vision for a socialist dating app. He says, dating apps are increasingly important avenue for a central experience of being human.
Is it, though?
Can you believe that?
That's crazy. Nikki here has lived her whole life.
Yeah.
And she's engaged. And she never
Without
used
using
a,
dating apps.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even believe it.
You're just not a human, Nikki.
I know. Must not be. I must
be
an alien.
If you're not on a dating app, you're not a human. What? He says it makes sense for the government to devote public resources to them. In fact, he says, to make his pitch even harder, some countries are already paying to set up their own dating services. And then he links to a couple of stories about this. Guess which one of the countries is doing
China.
You got it. The Singaporean government's Ministry of Social and Family Development has a webpage devoted to helping the uncoupled find partners.
Well, why wouldn't they want to control you from the time your parents met till preschool, controlled by the government till all the rest of your life?
Right. Originally, they would arrange marriages, and now the government's going to control who you can date.
That's a good point.
It advertises a government-run online dating portal, officially accredited dating agencies, and a partnership fund, which, quote, supports ideas and initiatives that you are passionate about to create opportunities to bring singles together, unquote. These government initiatives, admittedly, do have an ulterior motive. They're trying to reverse sharply declining birth rates. Still, these programs show, and Japan was another one of them, by the way, these programs show that there's nothing particularly strange or novel about publicly funded dating. And finally, he says, Corey Robin once wrote that, quote, the point of socialism is to convert hysterical misery into ordinary unhappiness.
That doesn't sound good.
What?
The point of what? Sorry.
How?
I'm telling you, this has to be a joke. He can't be serious.
This is not a joke. This is real. Like, Jacobin magazine is a leftist publication. It is hard left.
The point of socialism is to make everyone miserable and everything terrible. And we love it.
Well, I've never even seen a socialist be so brazen as to admit something like that.
Can you read
like
it
that.
Again? Sorry.
Yeah, it definitely deserves being read again. This is according to someone named Corey Robin. Quote, the point of socialism is to convert hysterical misery into ordinary unhappiness.
What?
So,
wow.
I can't believe he's saying that.
He says that goes for socializing online dating, too.
Hysterical misery worse than unhappiness?
I mean, both of those things are bad.
He says it wouldn't do away with the frustration or disappointment that many people experience on the apps or in dating more generally, but it could be an important step toward making a dating experience that's about people instead of profit. Then we could swipe, not to create wealth for the capitalist class, but for the simple and essential purpose of finding a date.
Did he tell his therapist about this?
We've got someone puking in the background here in the studio. Wow.
Oh, man.
So that's where this guy wants to go. He wants to go to government-funded, if not government-mandated or government-controlled, dating cooperatively-owned apps.
He says, the governments that are doing it now, yeah, they do have one ulterior motive. It's, you know, because they want to reverse declining birth rates.
That's right.
But he doesn't think they could ever have another ulterior motive.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, they might want to control you.
Oh, that's
a guarantee.
From
the time that you're, a zygote.
Yes, you're allowed to date this category of person, but you're, they got the Chinese social credit scores, right? So
yeah, what if one day you can't date anyone if you can't prove that you met them off the, you can't prove that you met them off the state app?
That would be so weird.
You could have dating enforcement agents going around demanding that you show that you met this person on the government dating app. That's a really crazy idea, Bonnie. That's probably where it's going. But so for now, at least, this guy, thankfully, is not in charge. And the marketplace is still allowed to operate.
He's just a miserable, stateless, maybe like 5 out of 10.
A whiner. And that's what these socialists are. They're lazy. They don't want to do anything themselves. He doesn't want to start this organization. He wants somebody else to do it for him. More coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scent hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Time for you if you want to jump on the lines at 603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in on the commie dating apps or the self-proclaimed socialist Democrats who want to have their co-op owned dating app, like, what's holding y'all back?
Well, there's still not going to be hot girls on it.
Probably not. Well, that's the other thing is, like, when you're starting up a dating app, it's chicken or the egg, right? Like, how do you get the users in to actually have people to date if you're starting from zero? That's a challenge in its own right.
When people go
for any of them
sign up for their driver's license, one day they're going to have to sign up for the right dating app for them.
The government mandated
government socialist
dating app.
Either democratic socialist or regular socialist, and then they have to join one of those two dating apps.
You know what? That said, though, if they actually do follow through with this, and I don't predict that they will because they're mostly lazy, but if they actually do create like some sort of co-op dating app where you can get involved in the administration of the app and be a part owner in it, then I wish them the best. Well, I hope that they don't get a government funding for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, he still said that the government's going to be necessary even in that route.
And I feel like that if they did do that, the leftist media would be all about it. Like, they would get a ton of free publicity. So as far as getting the ball rolling and getting people to actually try their app, I bet you they'd get a whole lot of news media coverage. Like, oh, co-op taking on Tinder, you know, like the whole little guy versus mega corporation thing. They could totally roll with that, and possibly they'd have a chance.
You still wouldn't be able to tell if anybody was hot until you met them in real life, because they'd be wearing masks, right?
Even then, they'd still be wearing a mask in real life, so you still wouldn't know.
Mm.
All right, so
you got married, I guess.
Bring up what you want. Let's go to the phones here. Unscreened caller calling from, looks like, the Orlando area. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air on Free Talk Live.
Oh, wow. I didn't think I was actually going to get on. That's great.
Here you are. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah, my name is Jack. Well, first of all, I wanted to say you guys got a bunch of callers named Jack, which is weird. Other than that.
Well, here you are.
If you had noticed that, first of all.
Yeah, well, there's really only one guy.
Yeah, he just calls a lot.
So you're the other Jack.
Oh, okay. I thought you had a bunch of different Jacks. Okay,
he's the Jack in Washington. You're the Jack on the other side of the country. So.
I think there's another Jack, too, right?
I don't know.
Maybe not.
Yeah, there's a few.
Okay. Well, apparently Jack pays more attention to that than I do. So go ahead.
Well, yes, being a Jack.
Indeed.
Anyway, Yeah, I just wanted to, I have a question about, what do you think about, with all the different cryptocurrencies coming out, the fact that cryptocurrency, the thing that makes it so great is that it's scarce, mm-hmm. right? With Bitcoin, there's only 21 million.
Right.
But if you have a bunch of different cryptocurrencies coming into the market, how is the market going to react to that? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it seems pretty clear to me is that if you create a cryptocurrency, and anyone can, because remember, the code for Bitcoin is completely open source. You can just copy the code tonight if you know what you're doing, and you can make your own cryptocurrency. But that doesn't mean it's going to be worth anything. Just because you
right.
put something out there doesn't mean the market is going to care about it. And indeed, if you look at the history, like we're talking about a 14-year history now almost, you can look at the history of the altcoins, and many of them have died completely. There have been thousands, likely, of coins at this point that have come, and they've gone. And there are thousands in existence today. If you go to sites like CoinMarketCap and CoinGecko and you scroll down that list, once you get down below 100 or 200, you start getting, you know, into the completely insignificant category of coins that barely exist, barely have any volume. If you look, an important thing to look at is 24-hour volume. How much of this coin has been purchased and or sold in the last 24 hours? If it's like $10,000 worth, you're not talking about a real heavy-duty hitter or anything like that. So it doesn't matter how many coins people crank out. It's not going to dilute the value. Yeah, it's not going to steal any value out of the existing coins unless they do something different and noteworthy, and then they may actually add value to the entire coin marketplace.
Yeah, people can still buy coins with fiat dollars. So people who only have fiat dollars are still getting in for the first time. It's early.
Does that answer
right,
your question?
Right. Yeah, I think so. It's really, I guess we don't really know the economics of it yet completely because it's so new.
Mm-hmm.
But as these new cryptocurrencies are developed, we'll see the good ones rise to the top.
Yes.
And the bad ones, you know, fall to the bottom. So I think that's, you just got to be really smart. You know, right now I've kind of been speculating. I don't really know a whole lot about the coins I'm investing in.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of know the basics about them, and I'm looking at like the number of coins that they have out there, if there is any utility at all. And I'm investing in those ones. So hopefully, you know, I'm real down right now because I started investing at like at the peak of the market about a year ago. So
it'll come back, I'm really, sure.
Hang in there.
Yeah, hold on for the
eventually,
ride.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, see what happens. And then, you know, the thing is, you can look at the utility all you want. The reality is, at least so far, the market hasn't really seemed to care about that.
Yeah, Monero.
You know, well, Monero's useful.
That's
and it
thing.
Has utility.
And
but
it's not as, you know, valuable
and
as
it's
Bitcoin.
Gone up.
Yeah, but it's like number 30 or whatever if you look at the top coins. Dash is, I think, at around 80 or 90, and it used to be number 5.
Well,
so just because something's in the top 10, keep this in mind, just because something's in the top 10 right now doesn't mean it's going to be there in another year or 3.
Yeah, look at Dogecoin.
That's why I like the small market cap ones, the ones with the very small market cap, because they have the most potential
to grow.
But then they could also just stagnate and stay there forever. So.
Well, and then that's where the rule comes in of don't put in anything you can't afford to lose. So if you've got some extra money you can, you know, that you'd rather spend on this than a case of beer or whatever, then put it into some cryptos and see how it goes in the future. And maybe you'll hit it big. You just never know.
And to go back to your original question, whichever ones falls to the bottom and whichever ones go to the top, it's really up to the market. And I don't think there's anything bad about even if Bitcoin suddenly started being, you know, way less valuable. I don't think that the government should come in and rescue people who lost money off of it, if that's what you're asking.
Definitely not. No, definitely not.
Jack, anything else you want to share tonight?
I mean, real quickly, I love the show. I love you guys. I've been listening to Carly for like 10 years now.
Wow.
The only qualm I would have with you guys is that you tend to be, I mean, and I can understand where you're coming from. Like, you're very critical of the status, and I understand that, and I am against the state as well, but we got to realize, like, we all started as status, basically. Like, you grow up as a status, so we got to be very, like,
well, I mean, I'll go further back. I mean, I don't think people are born status. They have to learn how to be a status.
Yeah, I think people are naturally born anarchists.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing is that we're indoctrinated by our public education to believe that the state is, you know,
that's true,
and all this. So I think we need to be a little bit more understanding of, like, these people are not evil. They're just, like, this is the way that they've been programmed. And so we need to help deprogram them. come from a place of compassion and
I totally agree with you,
and understanding.
I totally agree with you. I think the average person is as you described, but I think the politicians, they don't deserve much compassion.
They've proven that they're scum.
Even
if the politicians aren't just scum, like you said, they're doing evil things and they need to be called out. Whether you mean or you feel like you're not doing something bad in your heart or not, it doesn't really matter when it comes to your actions if you're doing something evil.
Yeah. But I don't think they really understand that they are doing evil.
No, of course
they're
not.
Doing good.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Maybe.
They're completely delusional.
But that tends to be true.
I think even the people in Congress, they really do believe that they're doing good. They really do believe that they're,
I think that's
what
true.
They're doing is right.
I think
Both of you are just kind of projecting, well, I wouldn't do something to hurt someone else, so nobody would. But some people
just really don't care. That's true. There really are psychopaths.
And there's secondhand psychopaths, people who just learn to stop caring.
But I think that Jack is correct generally about people, is that those who are advocating for bad things, the things that we disagree with, using the threat of violence against others, many of them, they don't see the violence. They don't want to see the violence. They have significant cognitive dissonance going on to prevent them from seeing that violence.
But when you can try to, when you've tried to actually go and convince politicians to stop doing, forceful things to you, the city councilors who listened to 100-something people last year in Keene, telling them why they don't want to wear a face mask, and they still instill it anyway because they're bought and sold. And I don't know.
Well, they believe that face masks are good, and they thought that everybody should have to do it.
But even though everybody in their town was telling them, we don't want to have to do this, and here's a million
great reasons why.
They think that they're smarter than everybody. That
yes, they do.
They understand these scientific things better than everybody
else. They're the anointed ones. They have been chosen to make these decisions for the people.
Sounds like a system we should completely demolish.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Thanks, Jack, for the call tonight, man. I do appreciate hearing from you. And the only way that the system is going to be demolished in a peaceful manner is for people of a like mindset to come to the same place together. And the Free State Project, by the way, has been promoting the Democrat protest video that we shot over the weekend. And if you haven't seen that yet, you can go to freekeen.com and you'll find a 15-minute version of it there that's including clips of the speeches from the Democrats, which are just loaded with unintentional endorsements of the Free State Project. And then there's probably the other half of it is Joa, our Thursday night co-host, just trolling from the stage. He took the stage after they finished speaking and just started having his own speech, and the Democrats didn't like that very much. So you get to see that. Check that out at freekeen.com. It's on the Freekeen Odyssey channel as well. You can join us tomorrow night online. In the meantime, it's Free Talk Live.
Have you set aside a supply of food for the potential food shortages about to happen? If you could buy one superfood that would support your energy, immunity, tissue repair, healing, detoxification, and have anti-inflammatory effects, would you be interested? There is one product that confers all of these benefits, and it is called Green Meadow Whey. Green Meadow Whey is the only cold, sterilized, non-denatured, frequency-encoded whey protein powder on the market. When you add some flax oil to your whey protein drink, then Green Meadow Whey becomes a complete meal, addressing the amino acid and fatty acid requirements of the body. Each scoop of Green Meadow Whey supplies your body with 24 grams of an easy-to-digest protein. Green Meadow Whey's shelf life is indefinite when kept free of moisture. A 5-pound bag of Green Meadow Whey lasts 76 days at one scoop per day. For a convenient and powerfully nourishing storable food, consider Green Meadow Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestwheyprotein.net. That's best, W-H-E-Y, protein.net.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.